God honoring. These are good days, and it is encouraging to see life resume in many different ways, and we praise the Lord for that. And Memorial Day weekend, a great reminder of sacrifice, great sacrifice that has been made for us as a people, as a nation, and we certainly celebrate that this weekend. I want to remind us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest sacrifice and greatest thing for us to remember and treasure is His sacrifice, first and foremost. But boy, the treasure and the blessing that we also have in experiencing the freedoms and maybe the lack thereof at times, and we feel that tension, and that's probably good that we feel that tension, because maybe it'll spur us on to getting our hearts and our minds right where we need to be as believers in a great nation that we do live in, but even a greater God that we serve. Amen? I hope and pray that is our focus. So, it's just good to see so many of you here this morning, and we welcome again the rest of you on Zoom, and we so look forward to all of us getting together here one of these days, sooner than later, to worship together. It'll be good. Just a couple announcements to mention for the week. I believe studies and everything should probably be going on as normal throughout the week. Planning to still do a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. I've just given you a heads up. When there's a little person that comes into this world, we're heading west, but whenever that happens, we should be able to hopefully still do prayer meeting via Zoom, and should be able to carry on with that, okay? You certainly can be praying for Kels. She's ready. She so wants to be moving on and bring this little squirt into the world, but anyway, in the Lord's perfect timing, He will come. So, we'll be praying for that, okay? Also a reminder for this next Sunday, Bruce and Christy, Shauna's sister and husband, they will be here. Bruce is going to be sharing from the Word with us. He's going to be kind of sharing what the Lord is calling them to, stepping out of pastoral ministry to go and to teach future pastors and missionaries and so on at Frontier School of the Bible. And they're going to come and share with us, and so look forward to that time next Sunday, okay? So, plan would be to do same time, 10 o'clock next Sunday. More than likely, we will, starting in June, more than likely we'll be looking to open up, we'll be doing Sunday school and everything once June gets here. But we'll keep you posted, okay? And at that juncture, we will then switch back to 9:30, I'm sure. But anyway, we'll keep you posted and all that. But it's going to be good to get back to life, normal ministry, and hopefully better ministry. We pray that we don't just pick up where we left off, but that we pick up in even a better position. That certainly has been my prayer for us. So. All right. Is there any other announcements that need to be mentioned this morning? Mr. Mest? I don't think so. I don't think that there are... the question was, is there a service out at the graveside tomorrow, a memorial service? And I don't believe that they're able to. They will have a service? Okay. So they're not a... Okay. Oh, just the veterans will. Okay. Okay. Well, there may be a, yeah. There might be something. We don't know when that is, though, do we? Okay. Well, anyway, if there's anything that's happening tomorrow, I will let you know. How about, okay? I'll find out if there's anything formal. I will be sure and get that out to you via Faith Life or your texting, okay? So, I'll keep you posted on that. All right. Anything else? Okay. Let's begin with prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice that you have made on our behalf and the offer of that free gift, Lord, through your shed blood that you shed upon the cross for the sins of all mankind. And Lord, to all who place their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, through that finished sacrifice, that finished work, Lord, you tell us that we will have eternal life. We truly have freedom that nothing can take away. We have freedom in Christ, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and we have life in you. Thank you, Lord, for that truth. Lord, thank you for this weekend, this reminder of the great sacrifice that has been paid through the years, Lord, of seeking to protect and to bring about the freedoms that we enjoy in this country that, Lord, are founded and based upon your truths. And we are so thankful for that. We are such a blessed people, and we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of all those who have served for that freedom and paid the ultimate price in so many cases. And so, Lord, thank you for their service and for their giving of themselves, Lord, for something that has been so great and is so great, Lord, and we treasure it today. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for each one that is here. I pray that you will bless our time of worship together. We pray, Lord, that you would just encourage our hearts and our minds in our walk with you this day. We love you, Lord, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. To get started, we got a video to play, and then next we come.
Sometime back, I received name of our country, the bodies of four Marines who have died while on active duty. I said then that there is a special sadness that accompanies the death of a servicemen, for we're never quite good enough to them. Not really, we can't be, because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. So when a serviceman dies, it's a tear in the fabric, a break in the hole, and all we can do is remember. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them, what they did, and why they had to be brave for us.
thankful for those that paid the price for us. And we're thankful for this nation and what was established when our founding fathers put this nation together. I was talking with a guy I work with, a younger kid that I work with, and we talked about the founding fathers, and somehow we got on that conversation and mentioned George Washington. It reminded me of a story that's probably not in many history books, but it was before our nation had formed, and George Washington was a general in the army, and they were fighting. Some of you who know history may correct me if I'm wrong. It could have been the French and Indian War, where he was a leader, a general fighting in that battle. And after the battle, he met up with an Indian chief who had been on the other side. And he said six times during that battle, he had George Washington point blank in his sights and had fired six times at him to kill him. But somehow the bullets had missed him. And so he said, I wanted to meet the man that God would not let die after that. And so, you know, so many stories like that don't ever make our history books anymore. But we think about what this nation was founded on. And we think about, because of those principles that people have sacrificed through the years, and many in our military, in our armed services, and died because of those principles that were established and the freedoms that we were given by our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And I hear in wall builders quite often that most, in the history of the world, most democracies have lasted an average of 17 years. And this shows you who was behind the forming of our nation. And we're going to open with the Star Spangled Banner. And I just wonder, could anybody sing the second verse of the Star Spangled Banner by memory? You know, there is a second verse. And it says, one line in it as we'll sing it, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And I was telling Evelyn before, I would love to hear somebody with the courage at a national sporting event or whatever stand up and sing the second verse of the Star Spangled Banner. And could you imagine probably the media pushback on that afterwards? But in God we do trust. As a nation, it's our motto. It's on our money. And we're just thankful for that. So let's stand as we, number 802 in your hymn book, the Star Spangled Banner. So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs burning. Oh, the spangled banner, then conquer we must. When our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall. Have a reading taken out of Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Many a woman have, a man and woman have laid down their lives for our national freedoms and have fought to provide them to so many others across the globe. So too, many have laid down their lives fighting for the eternal freedom of man's souls. We're soldiers in a war, fighting not against flesh and blood, but against Satan and his forces who want to see the eternal destruction brought about by sin. Christ, however, our commander-in-chief, has come to set us free and give us life and life abundantly. So let's put on our armor and follow our king eternal and take back the prisoners of war. We are soldiers of Christ, and we're in a battle each day. And it's not against other people, it's against our enemy. And he's real, and he's wandering around like a prowling lion, seeking those to whom he devour. And so we need to rise up and meet the enemy armed with what God has given us in his word. So let's turn to 7:23. Soldiers of Christ, arise. And if soldiers of Christ are going to arise, we can't do it sitting down. So we have to arise again. 7:23. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of is more than conqueror. Stand then in His great fight with all. 1 Timothy 6, we're told to fight the good fight of the faith. Again, implying us to be engaged in the battle. Be engaged each day, confronting the enemy. You know, scripture that says the church will prevail and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I've heard several pastors I've listened to on the radio, and they said, what is a gate for? A gate is a defensive weapon, isn't it? And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail. So the point of his message was, we as Christians are to be taking the fight to the enemy. And if we do that, it says, the gates of hell will not prevail. And so we're looking for our King to lead us on. Let's turn to 724. Lead on, O King Eternal. Robinsons at Frontier in LaGrange. Again, we have to rely on technology. Number one, if I can read it and not hit the wrong button to lose it. So, this is from the Robinsons. It says, we pray that you are all well. We need to get a prayer letter done soon, but at this point we don't have a lot of news. Due to COVID-19, Frontier ended school and went to online classes in mid-March. The staff all stayed busy other than then 1 week period when the school shut down completely as COVID was in LaGrange. Our church as with most all churches, has sat empty the past 4 weeks. Jeff and the board routinely call those in the congregations to see how they're doing and pray for them. We invited them to join us as we virtually attended church at Harrison Bible Church, our sending church. Nikki has been home and away from everyone for about 5 weeks now, but hopes to return to the office sometime next week. Please pray for the school as they finish up the semester online. Please pray for Jeff as he and the maintenance team finish up remodeling staff housing, with new staff coming in very soon. Praise the Lord, 3 new families are coming on staff with Frontier. As it stands now, Frontier is planning to welcome students in August. It will be so good to have our students back and having the pleasure of meeting and getting to know the new ones. We're praying for you. We know these have been very hard times, and harder times may be ahead. We encourage you to stay in the Word and trust in God's sovereign will at all times. Please let us know how we can pray for you. In Christ, Jeff and Nikki Robinson. Let's take a moment and let's pray for them and all the staff at Frontier. Lord, we just come before you now. We're thankful for the mission of Frontier School of the Bible, how they've affected each of us here in our congregation. Lord, we're just thankful for the mission that they proclaim, those that work there, how dedicated they are to the furthering of the gospel in young people. Father, and we just pray for that. We lift up the Robinsons. We think of many others that are there as well. We think of the Cheeks that are there, Lord. We lift them up to you. We pray that your hand would just be on them, Lord, that you would supply their need. We just pray for that, Father. We give you glory and honor. In your name we pray. Amen. I ran across this video as I was searching for songs for Memorial Day, and it speaks of the sacrifice of one person in general, the song talks about. And so that's what Memorial Day was originally created, to remember those that had died in the Civil War. And but it's gone on to remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And so this song talks about that. So hopefully it'll work.
He was a soldier. The call came in, it's time. He held it and told her, "Honey, everything will be just fine. I'm headed to a place they call Hell Covered Sand. You don't have to worry, babe. I'm in good hands." The greatest hands of life will catch me if I fall, and the strongest will protect me when my back's against the wall. And God's hands will comfort me when I feel alone. Honey, these hands of life will be the hands that bring me home. She wakes every morning, he's always on her mind, but she knows he's all fighting for our side. She gets a little frightened by an article she read, thinks back to the day he left and the words he said. Greatest hands of life will catch me if I fall, and the strongest will protect me when my back's against the wall. And God's hands will comfort me when I feel alone. Honey, these hands of life will be the hands that bring me home. He didn't do it for the glory. He didn't do it for the pay. He went to finish what they started on that September day. The sacrifice he made, the oath that he swore, he didn't have to fall on that grenade like his granddad did the war said, ma'am, I'm a soldier from the 101st. Your husband fought for freedom and he fought with pride. He saved me and five others on the day he died. The greatest hands of life will catch him if he falls. And the strongest protected him when his back was against the wall. Now God's hands comfort him. He'll never be alone. The most thankful hands of life were the 12 that carried him home. The call came in, and now it's time.
Good reminders. A couple things just want to mention as far as prayer requests. Just remember to keep Wyatt in our prayers as he, did he get to come home? Today he's coming, okay. So anyway, went through quite a few surgeries. Been quite a journey, skin grafts and you name it. But anyway, continue to keep Wyatt in your prayers, okay? As he heals up from his accident. And definitely has changed life for him. So certainly not just because it's Memorial Day weekend, but truly, when we think about the country and the privileges that we enjoy on a daily basis in our country, we mustn't forget truly the price that was paid for us. And that video says it well. I love thinking back to the President Reagan. I could listen to that man. There's just something about President Reagan that was pretty special. But anyway, some very profound things to think about this morning as we think about sacrifice and the privilege that we have truly to struggle with when we don't have what we have enjoyed. We've kind of been feeling the tension of lack of freedom and that bothers us, and that's good. That's good that it does, and I think it's probably apropos or a blessing that maybe Memorial Day is when it is, as we're thinking about getting our country going again, is remembering the great sacrifice, for sure. It brings us to, as followers of Christ, we naturally will look, or should anyway, look at all of these talking of freedom and sacrifice and the things that matter to us. It drives us deeper than what our culture and what history today, anyway, would like to proclaim and to remember. So my prayer is this morning is we're going to look at some challenges from God's Word for us specifically, thinking of sacrifices that have been made on our behalf, and then for us to consider just four things from Scripture that, and we could look at many more, but your sacrifice to offer. We're going to consider that this morning also. But I can't help but this probably is more of a maybe a message, the beginning of it anyway, a focus of what you would maybe expect or want for a 4th of July time period. But some things that I've been wrestling with and all through this time period, through the last several months of wrestling with freedoms, sacrifice, our call, our purpose, our allegiance. Oh my goodness, is there all kinds of tension there? There truly is. There's all kinds of things that we have to wrestle with and think through, and I'm sure you have found yourself there in these days. But in my looking and researching and different things, the Founders Bible, which you can actually get it online for free, a free app, but was fascinated to kind of take some time to look at some of the, all of the different quotes and foundational truths I think they use the NASB as the translation which they're using, but then they take, and all throughout Scripture and in different places, they're really pointing out what it is that our founders of this country chose to make, the decisions that they did for how we're set up as a country. Pretty exciting. It's pretty amazing, actually. And I'm going to share a few things, actually, from some quotes from that, some of the commentary from that Bible, the Founders Bible. Again, it's if you have questions or you want more information, talk to me later and we can do that. But these things that I'm going to read here to begin with are thoughts that the individual which the Lord was stirring in his heart to do this, and he was thinking of the huge undertaking, and then he started interviewing and talking to David Barton and other people, many others trying to get to the foundation of where we as a country have come from, and just the things that he began to observe. And one, he was excited yet troubled, because the history in which we are taught today, and honestly, and I have to admit, even for myself, you know, just things that we hear and we think about on a regular basis, and yet we find ourselves maybe misguided, even in our own thinking. And so it's, again, I think a valuable study and things to look into. Always, my struggle, always, in this is, I am always brought back to the fact, what is my number one allegiance to? And it's not to my nation, ultimately. My number one allegiance is to my Savior, Jesus Christ. That is my allegiance. And I never can forget that. I mustn't forget that. That is my allegiance always. That should be our allegiance as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friends, there are a lot of things when we look at, you know, we wrestle with. And this is some of the things that I'm wrestling with over the weeks here is, so what things do you submit to? God's word clearly tells me to submit to those in authority over us. So there's tension there. What does that look like? And so I have underlying things, well, this is what I should submit to. And but the deal is that, you know, I think if we really, we find out what our nation is built upon, we find out that there are some things, profound differences in which this nation and our Constitution and the Declaration, all these things proclaim to us that truly we want to submit to those in authority over us and to what is our foundation, it's going to cause us to maybe do things differently than we would think maybe. So those are the things that I'm wrestling with. My ultimate prayer for this morning is one that we're encouraged from some of these thoughts that I'm going to share with you from the Founders Bible, but also we have a purpose as followers of Christ. We have a sacrifice to offer ourselves, numerous sacrifices that God's Word tells us that we must offer on a daily basis. As we begin, let's pray. Father, we love you and we are thankful for your word. We are thankful, Lord, that your word is the foundation of life because it points us to you, who is the creator of life. You are the creator, the sustainer, the designer, the savior of this broken world. Father, we are a blessed people today because we have the privilege of living in a nation which no other nation, no other time in history has experienced what we have been able to experience as a country that is governed such as ours. We are so blessed. And Lord, when we begin to see and to hear and to realize the things that we're being fought for, ultimately, the foundations of which this country are built upon, Lord, to see all of the blood that has been shed, ultimately, for a cause and something that is moral principle and truths that are founded upon truth. Lord, help us to be encouraged and challenged from this morning. Above all, Lord, I pray in the midst of this and in a world, Lord, even when it's supposed to look a certain way because of the way it's told to be governed as our country is, as a constitutional republic, Lord, that's what it is, and it looks different than often we make it out to be. Lord, help us to take all these truths, filter it through the truth of your word and your heart and your mind this morning. Convict us where we need convicted. Challenge us where we need challenged. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Some quotes that I'm just going to mention, I'm going to share with you this morning from the Founders Bible. Again, these are commentary within it. This is not biblical. This is not scripture. This is thoughts of the individual that then compiled all of these things to give us an understanding of our foundation. I was stirred with appreciation of their sacrifice, the persecution endured, hearing how the Bible first came to America. They showed me one of the rare original copies of the Geneva Bible with the Reformers' actual notes in the margin, challenging the notion of the divine right of kings, rethinking a host of societal issues. The dream of freedom had been awakened. The fire was lit, and it would not be put out. Tyranny's days were numbered. Before the revolutionary ideas that graced the pages our founding documents were ever penned, they were first preached in the pulpits of New England. The fruit of the people searching and studying the scriptures for themselves as they sought to discern how we should live, how we should then live. I had no idea how central the Bible was to the unfolding drama, and how it was forbidden by the English crown to be published in America, speaking of the Bible, how copies had to be smuggled into the country. When I heard that one of the very first acts of Congress was actually to commission a publishing of the scriptures in America so that the people could have free access to it, I was floored. Really? The very government that in 1962 and 63 removed prayer and Bible reading from school at its founding is the one that was desperately seeking to get it into as many hands as it could. So much for our popular conceptions of the separation of church and state. We have become a nation that has a tale of two histories. One that has a deep, rich spiritual heritage that speaks of godly purpose and destiny that was born in the heart of this nation as it was founded, and another that is progressively seeking to distance itself from that, trying to pretend it does not exist. Given a generation of dominance in public education where God seems to have been edited out of the equation, and we have become a nation with spiritual amnesia, we do not know because we have not heard. The Bible and America both enjoy unprecedented success. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. It has sold hundreds of millions of copies worldwide and has seen the best-selling book and has been the best-selling book in America for centuries. No other book is comparable. Similarly, America is unrivaled in its success. Born in 1776 with the Declaration of Independence, she has only one form of government since the U.S. Constitution was ratified in 1789. Neither our closest allies nor our fiercest enemies have experienced the stability with which we have been blessed. The accomplishments of both America and the Bible are unmatched, but not unrelated. For the Bible was the key factor in America's success, a fact largely unknown today, but widely acknowledged by national leaders throughout history, American history. And these are just some examples of that. In the formative days of the Republic, the directing influence the Bible exercised upon the fathers of the nation is conspicuously evident. This book continues to hold its unchallenged place as the most loved, the most quoted, and the most universally read and pondered of all the volumes which our libraries contain. We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning the place the Bible has occupied in space and shaping the advances of the Republic. I suggest a nationwide reading. Hear this? I suggest a nationwide reading of the Holy Scriptures for a renewed and strengthening contact with those eternal truths and majestic principles which have inspired such measure of true greatness as the nation has achieved. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said those things. The next quote, the fundamental basis of the nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of the Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days, President Harry Truman. America was born to exemplify the devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. President Woodrow Wilson. The teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and entwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally, I do not mean figuratively, I mean literally impossible to use, impossible for us to figure to ourselves what that life would be if these teachings were removed. We would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals, all the standards towards which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. Almost every man who has by his life worked added to the sum of human achievement of which the race is proud, of which our people are proud. Almost every such man has based his life work largely upon the teachings of the Bible. President Teddy Roosevelt. In the Bible, the Bible, is the rock on which our republic rests. President Andrew Jackson. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. The Bible and its teaching helped form the basis for the founding fathers' abiding belief in the inalienable rights of the individual, rights which they found implemented in the Bible's teachings of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. President Ronald Reagan. The Bible is the best gift God has given to men. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, but for it we could not know right from wrong. President Abraham Lincoln. The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts. John Jay, President of the Continental Congress and author of the Federalist Papers. No book in the world deserves to be so unceasingly studied and so profoundly meditated upon as the Bible, the first and almost the only book deserving such universal recommendation is the Bible. John Quincy Adams, President. Remember that you are the Redeemer of the Lord, Ephesians 1:7, that you are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20, even the inestimable price of the precious blood of the Son of God. Acquaint yourselves with him in his word and holy ordinances. William Samuel Johnson, signer of the Constitution. I believe the Bible to be the written word of God and to contain it in it the whole rule of faith and manners. Robert Treat Paine, signer of the Declaration. Our all-generous Creator, Preserver, and Ruler has been pleased to discover and enforce His laws by a revelation given to us immediately and directly from Himself. This revelation is contained in the Holy Scriptures. James Wilson, signer of the Constitution, signer of the Declaration. All of the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from them despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Noah Webster, Schoolmaster of America. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should relegate its conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia. What a paradise would this region be. The Bible is the best book in the world. John Adams, signer of the Declaration. The Bible is called the Word of Truth. This has stood through the ages as an undeniable fact, it possesses the unique, unrivaled, and solitary ability to speak to the hearts of people and the circumstances of life, as does no other book in the world. All of these quotes coming from those whom founded our nation. It's good for me to be reminded of that. And I think it's probably, my friends, going to be pretty important that we get a clearer understanding. I know for myself, these days have been frustrating internally, because you wonder, what do you submit to? What don't you submit to? What is true? What isn't true? What is it that is the foundation in which we base our life upon, and we're going to have decisions to make in the coming days that, yeah, that's just, I believe that. I'm certain that we will. The Lord could return before then, and if he did, how awesome would that be? But I believe there's no reason why we may not have to make some very difficult decisions. What are we basing our truth upon? What are we basing our decisions upon? And so those are things that I've personally been challenged with and wrestling with. And like I say, so much tension. I have to tell you, great tension in my soul, in my mind, in these days, truly wanting to guide and direct and lead and be on the right path myself, but taking us down a path of righteousness that reflects Jesus above all. Not reflecting our nation above all, but reflecting Jesus above all. I want that for my own life and for us as a people. But we know this, these truths to be true. These are the true history and foundation of our nation, and that's valuable for us to know that. And for us to know that the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf was so honored. To think of the price that so many have paid for us to enjoy the nation in which we live in today, truly amazing. And so we are grateful. But I want to challenge us for just a few moments with several things that we can find in God's Word of our sacrifice that we might offer, your sacrifice to offer, that much sacrifice has been made for us, thinking of our nation, those who have suffered and sacrificed for our freedoms, the ultimate sacrifice that was made through Jesus Christ, that you and I have the privilege of being here united with unity, oneness of mind and heart, with his, he is our Lord, our Savior, our place of peace and rest and a salvation. The promise of eternity. What does this word tell us to do? Well, our first one that I, the first one I want to look at, and at Psalm 107, verse 22 is kind of the thought that got me started here on this. Psalm 107, verse 22. It says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. My friends, truly, when we think of us as followers of Christ, my goodness, we should be people that are proclaiming, living, sharing the joy of the Lord to a lost and dying world. We should. That should be our heartbeat, our proclamation, our life in everything. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So, ultimately, our life needs to be encompassed by a life of sacrifice, praise, glory, and honor given to him because of all he has done. Okay, but Romans 12:1, and I think we all are very familiar with Romans 12:1, a sacrifice that you and I, as followers of Christ, a sacrifice for us to offer. It tells us very clearly, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So in this the heartbeat of sacrifice, if we think of the sacrifice, the focus of our founding fathers to this nation, the sacrifice that they made, the sacrifice in which our Savior made on our behalf, and thinking about what is our sacrifice, what is it, Lord, that you've called me to do in day-to-day life for His glory? He calls us and asks of us to offer our bodies, yourself, sacrifice of yourself. Offer the sacrifice of yourself to Him. We offer Him ourselves, and it's an act of worship, He tells us, a living sacrifice. It is something that you offer. He doesn't enlist you. It's not something that He demands of you. It's not something that He says you have no choice. No, He gives us the privilege of coming to salvation by grace through faith, believing in the finished work of Christ. It's nothing that is forced upon us. It's something that we have the privilege of choosing. Yet then, as a follower of Christ, He then says, now offer your bodies. He isn't taking it from you. He says, you offer your body as a sacrifice to Him because of what He has done for you. We offer ourselves back to Him. Our life is His. The question must be, what must be slain for we are living? How do we slay ourselves when we are alive? Well, there's a lot of things, my friends, that when we think about in Romans 12:1 of laying down our life as a living sacrifice, what is it that is to be ultimately number one? He is to be number one in our life and everything. So what things do we slay? What things do we put on the altar? Ultimately, we put our own pleasure and our own wants. It's not what I want, but it's what you want and will, Lord. It's what you want for my life. My spouse, ultimately, our spouses, he's first, right? He's first. My life is about you, Lord. My life is yours, ultimately. And everything that can tug and pull at my life, I better make sure that my life is surrendered and submitted to you. And when I do that, when I lay everything else before you, our family, our spouse, our job, our work, all of these things, when we lay it before Him and say that you are most important, Lord, I want for you to work in and through my life, that in all of these things you will be glorified. That's what it's all about. My life is yours, Lord. Everything that I have and everything that you have given to me, it's yours. Here I am, Lord. My life is yours. And everything that I have. And I want you to be first in everything. We offer it all, Scripture says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer it all. I realized now that you guys don't even have to think this morning about what's going in the blanks, because I left them in there. I just realized that. What a deal, huh? Or maybe you don't even have blanks. You don't have that. Well, see, you're really... No, I'm making you work hard. Good, that's excellent. Good, I didn't give you anything. One of the greatest Christians who ever lived read this quote, and I... just some interesting thoughts about this individual. A great man of God, William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army. Wilbur Chapman, who was an evangelist, asked William Booth when he was an old man, "General Booth, what has been the secret of your life? Why has God used you so?" The old general brushed a tear out of his eye. He bowed his head and he thought for a moment. He said this, "God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains, greater opportunities than I, but from the day I had a vision of what God could do with poor old Londoner, I made up my mind that God would have all there is of William Booth." It's a pretty neat proclamation, or a thought for himself of his life and everything that he had. It was the Lord's. Oh Lord, please help me to have that mindset. That's the mindset that he's looking for, what he's longing for us as followers of Christ is to be a living sacrifice of who I am and all that I have. It is his. Lord, please use it for your glory. Use me for your glory. Well, William Booth had a pretty good grasp of that in his own life. Second of all, offer a sacrifice of praise. Offer a sacrifice of praise. In 107:22, kind of using that verse as the main thought with this, of an offering a sacrifice of praise. What is your sacrifice to offer? And offering your praise to him. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. It's something that you and I, as followers of Lord Jesus Christ, should be full of thankfulness and gratitude and praise for what he has given to us each and every day. Again, it's of your free will. He doesn't demand it of you. He doesn't make you. But he longs when it is meaningful to him. It's when we offer it of our free will, of because of what he has done for us, we want to offer it to him, back to him. He has done everything for us, and he longs for us to praise him and to thank him in everything that we have, everything that we do, all that he has for the future, all that he has done in the past, of his great works that he has done, we are to give him praise. Psalm 119, 108, it says, "Accept, O God, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws." Accept, O Lord, the willing praise. It's something that you and I should be not having to be compelled to do or made to do, but we want to do. We want to do it because of what he has done for us. It's to be continual praise. We see that in Scripture, that we're to be giving praise at all times. A very short little verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always. Always. Be joyful always. I believe he means that. I believe that God's word says that. He doesn't say that for us. Well, that's a great thought. And boy, it'd sure be neat if we could achieve that. But the reality is if we're walking in step with the Lord, we can have joy. We can have peace. There's so many other things that come with praise, right? There's peace and that joy and hope and all these things that come with it. But be joyful always, he tells us. So it's we're to offer a sacrifice of praise to him each and every day, each moment of each day, because of what he has done for us, because of his great sacrifice, because of the wonderful privilege that we have to live in a country in which we live, the sacrifice that has been made for us, because of his great love for us, each breath that he gives to us, all that he has done. Oh, my friends, we should be full of praise. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" We have every reason to have praise flowing from our lips and joy. We are to bring that praise to our time of corporate worship. This is an interesting, saw this verse, Jeremiah 33:11. We would say, I'm going to go to worship and praise together, or you know, that we can praise and worship together. And that's true, we do that. But it's interesting, look what Jeremiah 33:11 says. It says, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord. We should be living day by day with joy and hope and praising the Lord, and it's wonderful to get together. It was so great this morning to sing together. It is good to be able to worship and to praise the Lord together, but my friends, we're called to bring our praise together. Bring praise and honor that we have experienced throughout the week. We bring it to our time of worship. We bring it to share and to proclaim together. It can't be just experienced when we are together, but we are certainly experiencing the drought, are we not? It feels good to get together, and it does feel good to praise and worship the Lord together. It's so important. We were never designed to be left alone, to be secluded. We're just not. And I believe that more than ever today. We are a relational people. God's designed us that way, and we are to worship and to praise together. But I hope and pray that we are doing that even at home, and have been in these days when we have been secluded. Well, we are to offer the sacrifice of prayer. So we have the sacrifice of yourself, the sacrifice of your praise. Offer the sacrifice of prayer. Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like evening sacrifice. May my prayer be set before you like incense. We're to offer our prayers to the Lord. It's a fragrant offering. And that's what it is. That's what it is to Him, a fragrant offering, when we lift our prayers and praise to Him. I continue to encourage you to search the prayers of the New Testament and find what you see within the prayers of what Paul prayed for and others prayed for, and see what's missing. See what things are missing. I think that's as profound as anything. But my friends, if we got our heart right, and if we are desiring for His glory to be lived through us, we're going to find our prayers to be so focused upon ultimately His glory, what His desire is for us, what He wants for us, not what we want from Him, but what, Lord, what is Your will? What is Your desire? And we want for You to be glorified and honored in everything. But offering a sacrifice of prayer. May my prayer be set before You like incense. Your prayer is like a fragrant incense to the Lord. Thinking about that and what does that mean within the context of Scripture? What is so incense and the prayers that are offered? Some interesting thoughts here that I'm just going to read to you of the traditions in the Old Testament of offering prayers. If you were to go to the tabernacle in the Old Testament, first of all, as you went to the tabernacle, you would come past a brazen altar. And that's where the blood sacrifice was made. And then as you walked into the tabernacle, on one side you would see the candelabra, and on the other side you would see the table of showbread. The candelabra speaks of Christ, our sight. The showbread speaks of Christ, our sustenance. The brazen altar speaks of Christ, our sacrifice. And then you come to the golden altar, the altar of incense, and that speaks of Christ, our supplication. And the priest would come, first of all, by the way of blood and the way of sustenance and sight to that golden altar. And there he would burn incense on the golden altar. In the morning, when he came into the to trim the lamps, and in the night, and in the night time, when he came in to trim the lamps, he would offer sacrifice upon the golden altar. And when he would offer sacrifice or incense, it would just ascend up out of the tabernacle, and it would be a sweet smell. It was savory. A sacrifice to God, the sacrifice of prayer. Now God says that your prayers are like that sacrifice. So then we're reminded of this. In order to get to the golden altar, you had to come past the brazen altar. The brazen altar is where the blood was, right? The golden altar is where the incense is. And anybody can offer incense. And nobody can offer incense until he's first come by the brazen altar where the blood was shed. For the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19. When you come to the Lord to praise him, you must come on the basis of the blood atonement. And may I, the altar of incense, the fire, had to come, the Bible tells us, from the brazen altar. In order for this sacrifice to mean anything, in order for it to have any value, it was always being reminded of the shed blood. When we're coming to the Lord, before the Lord, the sacrifice that is pleasing and honoring to him. There's only one way to come to God. And it's the blood-sprinkled way. There's only one way to pray, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. There must be fire in that altar. It must be fire from that altar. So the heartbeat, the mindset of this is, as I was reading through this, is like it pointing us back to the heart of when we go to the Lord in prayer. What are we going with? Whose heart and whose mind, and with what victory do we do it? Is it through our what we've offered, or what he has already done for us, the sacrifice that he has made for us? And it's on that basis, Lord, I'm coming before you. I need you. My prayers, I'm lifting it, my prayers to you, because you are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You are the one whom shed your blood for my sins. And I want to honor you, and I want what you want in my life, and that alone. So our prayers can be offered as a precious incense to him, a fragrant offering. Is that what it is when we go to him, or is it something that is very focused on us, indifferent of the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf? Well, the fourth thing that I want to mention from the word here is offering of your possessions. So yourselves, your praises, your prayer, and also offering of what you have, your possessions, all that you have. Hebrews 13, verse 16 tells us, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. What offering do you have to offer to him? Well, all that we have. It does go back to my life, back to yourself, but then everything that you have, all that you have, share it with others. It is something, again, that we offer willingly, not under compulsion, I love what 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, and I think have that on for our giving thought. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We're to give of our possessions, of all that we have, use it for His glory. That's a sacrifice that we have to offer as a brother and sister, brothers and sisters in Christ. My friends, you cannot purchase blessing from God. We can't. We can't purchase blessing from God. But when we willingly give to Him, and we give back to Him of our life, of our time, of our possessions, when we give back to Him, God's Word tells us that that is a spiritual sacrifice. It's pleasing and honoring to Him, He tells us, as we think of that verse, 2 Corinthians. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly and under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful, willing giver. I hope and pray that that's where we find our act of service start. I say that for myself, but for each of us, that we are willingly giving of ourselves and all that we have. We are to offer our best. It's interesting, in Malachi 1:8, Malachi, the Italian book, Malachi 1:8, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or deceased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. The Lord isn't pleased with us just eking our way through, just giving of the little. The Lord wants us to give of our best. But that's in everything. Our life, our possessions, and all that we have, to give our very best back to Him. Well, there's been a lot of sacrifice made on our behalf, and we can treasure that, and I hope that we do. There's a lot of things that we need to remember, and we just looked at four. There's so many other things that we could look at from Scripture of what we are to offer to Him. I hope and pray that we are compelled, because of His love, we're compelled by His love to do that, to offer back to Him our very best, for His glory, for His praise, for His honor. And it is good, as He tells us, that it's our prayers, that we, as we do that with the mindset of all that He has done for us, and it's good. It's a pleasant aroma to Him when we pray in accordance to His will, what He desires for our lives. Amen? All right. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, thank You so much for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this weekend. Thank You for the reminder of sacrifice that's been made on our behalf. Lord, I pray that You will help us to take to heart what it is that we are to offer back to You. Lord, I do pray that in everything that we offer, it would be our best, that we wouldn't just give of our seconds and our thirds or of what's broken, but that, Lord, we would choose to give to You what is the best, the first in our life. And so, Lord, thank You. Thank You for this time. Thank You for being together this morning. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bless our the rest of this week. Help us to just honor You and glorify You and praise You throughout this week as we offer these things back to You willingly for Your glory. We love You, Lord. Thank You for this time. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You're dismissed.